Let's read together Acts chapter 11. In this chapter, we see both Peter and Barnabas helping to further the expansion of the church to the Gentiles. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 18. Acts chapter 11, verse 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." Let's consider some background notes. In Acts chapter 10, we saw the door of the expanding Christian church open to the Gentiles. The Lord sent Peter to the home of Cornelius, a Roman military centurion, and this godly soldier, along with his friends and relatives, responded to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read at the end of Acts chapter 10 that Peter stayed on to minister for a few days at the home of Cornelius in Caesarea. Look again at Acts chapter 10, the last verse of the chapter, Acts 10, 48. "And Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days." Peter's topic of ministry for the few days with these newly converted Gentiles was probably something like basic lessons for Christian living, or maybe Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in Christ. We don't know for sure. In the meantime, word had gotten back to Jerusalem that the Gentiles had received the word of God and had been converted at Caesarea, and Peter was having fellowship with them. It was maybe some of the brethren that went with Peter from Joppa to Caesarea that brought this good word back to Jerusalem. Well, some of the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem were not pleased with the situation. And when Peter finally made it back to Jerusalem, they took issue with him, as we see in verse 2. "And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him." When it says in verse 2, "those of the circumcision," it means that they were of the so-called circumcision party. Their problem was not that Gentiles were responding to the gospel, but that Gentiles were being brought into the church without being circumcised. They were of the opinion that Gentiles must first become full proselytes of Judaism through the ritual of circumcision before they were added to the Jewish church. The Samaritans who had been added were at least part Jewish, and the Samaritans did practice circumcision. Certainly, God's intention was not to save Gentiles and bring them into the church without being circumcised. Well, it was at this point that Peter refuted their wrong reasoning with his account of the facts. And that brings us then to our doctrinal points for Acts chapter 11. So, doctrinal or teaching point number one: Peter played a major role in God's expansion of the church to the Gentiles. Peter played a major role in God's expansion of the church to the Gentiles. You know, if you were to ask the average Christian the name of the apostle that God used to expand the early church from being primarily a Jewish church to becoming primarily a Gentile church, most Christians would say the Apostle Paul, and rightly so. But we see here that Peter also played a major role. We've already seen how Peter, who was given the keys of the kingdom of heaven by the Lord himself in Matthew 16, opened the door of the church for both the Samaritans, Acts chapter 8, and the Gentiles, Acts chapter 10. But besides opening the door for the Gentiles, we see here in Acts chapter 11 that God used Peter to keep the church from an early split between Jews and Gentiles. Now notice how Peter just recounts the facts of the case and emphasizes that this was not his idea, but God's. If anything, Peter's own thinking was more in line with the circumcision party until God spoke to him. And then notice in verse 15 how Peter equated what happened as he was speaking to the Gentile believers to what had happened at Pentecost to the Jewish believers. In both cases, the Holy Spirit was given. Peter said in verse 15, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning." Who was Peter to argue with God? Notice, by the way, that Peter refers to Pentecost as the beginning. That is, the beginning of the church. Peter believed the church began at Pentecost, not in the Old Testament. And then in verse 16, Peter shows how what happened at the house of Cornelius was also part of the fulfillment of what the Lord promised in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Peter says in verse 16, "Then I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Now look at what the Lord promised in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And also Acts 1, 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." What more could be said? Peter rested his case, and we read in verse 18, "When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, 'Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life.'" What a great result. Too bad all church disputes can't be settled this easily. This harmony allowed the church to continue its expansion according to God's plan. Peter played a major role in God's expansion of the church to the Gentiles. Doctrine point number two, Barnabas played a major role in God's expansion of the church to the Gentiles. Barnabas played a major role in God's expansion of the church to the Gentiles. Verses 19 through 26. "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." We first read about Barnabas back in chapter 4, Acts chapter 4. There we learned that Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, was generous and sold his land and gave the money to the church. Now here in verse 24 of Acts 11, we read that Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. So who does the mother church at Jerusalem send to Antioch of Syria to check up on the situation there when they hear that large numbers of Gentiles are turning to the Lord? You guessed it, Barnabas. Antioch of Syria was about 300 miles from Jerusalem, north of Jerusalem. And it was the third largest city in the Roman Empire, after Rome and Alexandria. We see here in verses 19 and 20 that the gospel had come to the Gentiles of Antioch by means of some Jewish believers of Cyprus and Cyrene. We see in verse 26 that believers were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, this label by the Gentile pagans was not used as a compliment then, and it is not used by the ungodly world today as a compliment. Antioch of Syria is today Antakya of Turkey. I remember our guide there told us that if we didn't have to cross the borders of today, we could have breakfast in Antakya and dinner in Jerusalem. Of course, it took Barnabas a few days to go from Jerusalem to Antioch. When Barnabas arrived in Antioch, he saw that there was definitely a work of God here. And true to his name, he encouraged the believers to remain faithful. But furthermore, Barnabas realized that these new Christians needed to be taught the Word of God. Who better could Barnabas get to teach the Word than Saul of Tarsus, who would become the great Apostle Paul? And so Barnabas set off for Tarsus to find Saul, who had been in the regions of Syria and Cilicia since we last read of him in Acts chapter 9, verse 30. At least 9 years have gone by since that time. So Barnabas found Paul and brought him to Antioch, and they set up a Bible school for a whole year, and many were taught the Word of God. Verse 26. How would you like to have attended that school? ABC, Antioch Bible College. There it is. And Antioch would become the base of Paul's future missionary outreaches to the Gentiles. Barnabas was a key factor in all of this. Barnabas played a major role in God's expansion of the church to the Gentiles. Now for practical application. Let's give like the Christians at Antioch. Let's give like the Christians at Antioch. Verses 27 through 30. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also appeared in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. This prophecy of a coming famine was given to Agabus by the Spirit of the Lord. And the famine did take place as predicted, and the churches of Judea were hard hit. The church of Antioch sent money to Jerusalem with Saul and Barnabas to help meet this coming need. And notice how these early Christians gave. They are a great model for us. They gave early in view of the coming need. They gave spontaneously. They did not have to have their arms twisted. They gave proportionally, not just a token amount. You know, when we hear of a need, we should do the same. Let's give like the Christians at Antioch.